four Gospels tell the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. And on Easter, we always read one of these in our worship service. Today, we'll listen to the account given in the Gospel of Mark. Now, for some reason, people think that's my favorite gospel. It's not necessarily, but we are going to open to the Gospel of Mark today. And of all the Gospels, it contains the most disconcerting report of Jesus' resurrection. And it seems to emphasize how bewildering of a time it was for almost everyone involved. And we see this clearly when the women went to Jesus' tomb, where they encountered a young man who spoke to them. But instead of comforting them, his words alarmed them, and they fled in fear. The oldest Greek manuscripts of this gospel ended right there. That's verse 8 in chapter 16. And that's certainly an unsettling note to end the gospel on. So it's not a surprise that someone else came along later and added to that ending. You'll see a shorter ending and a longer ending in the gospels. Those are verses 9 through 20. And I encourage you to read that on your own. But for this morning, we will listen to the first 8 verses of chapter 16. I invite you now to listen to these words. If you have your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 16. I'll be reading verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He's not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, but they were afraid. This is the word of our Lord. Oh God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be pleasing to you. Amen. Charles Dool was the commissioner of the United States Patent Office from 1889 to 1901. When the 500th patent was issued, he predicted a time was coming when the patent office would shrink in size and eventually would no longer be needed. People even quoted him as saying, "Everything that can be invented has already been invented." Well, that was obviously a rather limited view of the future. We might even say it was a negative view, because he couldn't imagine a future with anything new. From his perspective, inventors had reached the end of the road. There was nothing new to create, nothing new to discover. He assumed that what life looked like at that particular moment is what it would always look like. And he reached that conclusion because he lacked vision. Of course, we're all susceptible to this sort of thing, as were Jesus' first followers. Right after the crucifixion, they lacked vision and understanding. They thought the movement that Jesus had started ended with his death. And they were feeling fearful. Their hearts were filled with despair. Life looked dark and gloomy. And they were so consumed with Jesus' execution that they couldn't see any other possibilities. Their focus was on the bad news of death. For the last year, we've had a lot of bad news. The COVID pandemic has certainly made us feel gloomy and discouraged. We've been separated from one another, and it's been tempting to focus on the negatives, on what's wrong and what's not working. And in times like this, it's so important to be reminded of the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus' followers needed in the days immediately after the crucifixion. They were focused on bad news. They were focused on death. The Gospel of Mark tells us that when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint the body of Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. Let's take a moment to consider what these women were feeling and what they were giving their attention to. Now, they weren't in a good state of mind because they were sad and depressed. They were gloomy. A sense of doom hung over them because their Messiah had been killed in a humiliating way on a cross. And now they were feeling stressed and anxious about the future. They didn't see any new possibilities for the ministry that Jesus began. If anything, they thought it was over. And to bring closure to this chapter in their lives, they wanted to give Jesus a proper burial. That's why they brought spices to the tomb. And yet, even this act of service was stressful for them. These women were anxious as to how they would get to Jesus' body, given that it had been placed in a cave-like tomb and sealed by a large stone. How would they remove that stone? This was causing them a great deal of anxiety, which of course is a feeling of fear about what's to come. And so as these women were walking along, they said to one another, this is in verse 3, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And yet when they arrived there, they found that the stone had already been rolled away. That was a welcome sight, and perhaps it lowered their anxiety just a bit. But as soon as they entered the tomb, verse 5 tells us that they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. They didn't expect to see anyone else there. His presence startled them, and the man said, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has been raised." Their focus had been on bad news, but the words of this young man gave them reason to hope. The man then ordered them to share this good news with others. Verse 7 says, "Tell his disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." And just like that, their focus had shifted from doom and gloom to envisioning new possibilities for the future. And having heard that news, you might have expected that they would have celebrated. But the scripture says that they were filled with terror and amazement, and they immediately left the tomb. And that reminds us that negative emotions can be really hard to shake off. And Mark reported that these women chose to say nothing to anyone because they were so afraid. It was hard for them to shed the fear that had grabbed hold of them. Their focus had been locked in on bad news, and it would take time for them to move past it. And I think the same is true for us. When we dwell on bad news, our fears grow stronger, and it can be awfully hard to hear anything good. I think the way to overcome this is by breaking the cycle of negativity. And the way we do this is we just don't feed negativity. This doesn't mean that you ignore bad news. Just don't give it your focus. Instead, expand your vision and look for new possibilities. See, the good news of Easter is that God has acted in our lives to break the cycle of negativity. We're invited to see that the stone has been rolled away. Jesus has been raised from the dead. And therefore, we are invited to focus on the future where the Lord is already waiting for us. Now, most of us have fears about the future. But let's remember that the stone is gone. The barrier standing between us and the future has already been rolled away. We do tend to focus on bad news and the worst case scenarios. That's what the women were doing as they approached the tomb. They were totally focused on that enormous stone that they feared would prevent them from entering the tomb and preparing Jesus' body. But God was working to change their situation. And from their example, there are three important lessons that we can learn that I think will help us navigate life when it feels like bad news and negativity are trying to dominate our lives. First, I think we should recognize that fear is always worse than reality. You know, our brains have a way of twisting information on how bad things are and how bad they're going to be. But when we're able to hush our fears, we realize that the world keeps on moving and God keeps on working, and we are going to find a way to survive. Now, the women were so worried about the stone in front of Jesus' tomb that they never dreamed that God might actually roll it away. Their brains had lied to them about how terrible things were and how bad they were going to be. But when they came to Jesus' tomb, they were surprised to see that the stone was gone. And in that moment, the Lord had planted the seeds of hope that would help them overcome their fears. And God does the same for us. Sometimes we let our fears consume us and keep us from seeing a better future. And maybe you're fearful or anxious about something at school or at work or at home. Perhaps it's a fear of loneliness or failure or a health issue. There are a lot of things that can make us fearful, but don't let your mind lie to you. Just remember that our fears are worse than reality. And most of all, don't forget that God is always at work. And by recognizing this reality, we can turn our focus away from the bad news and see that Jesus is not dead, which is a second lesson that we learn. See, the young man in the tomb had anticipated that the women weren't going to believe what he said. And so he invited them to see for themselves. He said, "He is not here. Look at this place, the place where he had been laid." See, Jesus wasn't there. He wasn't dead inside that tomb. Instead, he's risen to new life. And today we see Christ alive in each believer. He's alive in people who show his grace, his love, his forgiveness, his healing, and his justice. We see his presence whenever a stranger is welcomed, a child is loved, a friend is forgiven, a patient is healed, and an injustice is made right. 10 days before Easter in 1968, Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. And a pastor by the name of Brian Wren wanted to acknowledge this terrible loss, but he also wanted to proclaim the good news of the resurrection. And so he decided to write a little hymn, a hymn called "Christ is Alive." You can find this in our Baptist hymnal. Now, the first words of this hymn go, "Christ is alive, let Christians sing. The cross stands empty to the sky. Let streets and homes praises ring. Love drowned in death shall never die." And so these words gently remind us that an awful crime was committed on the cross. It was a terrible act of injustice, but it didn't stop Jesus and it didn't end his love. And then in the second verse, Brian Wren wanted to make it clear that the risen Christ is still working in our world. And as he put it, Christ is still saving, healing, here and now, and touching every place and time. In other words, Christ meets us in the middle of bad news and brings us good news And we encounter this good news whenever his followers live with love and grace and peace and justice. Christ is alive and is still at work in our world. One final lesson that we learn from the women in our scripture is that we're challenged to look to the future, not the past. Let's remember that Christ is not just with us. Christ is also ahead of us, calling us into the future that he's preparing. Our job is to discern where we're being led and then to follow. If we focus totally on the bad news in our world, we will get stuck in a cycle of negativity that will only make us feel more anxious and fearful. But think what might happen if we expand our vision and look beyond what's wrong, what's not working, and what we're unhappy with. What if we intentionally prayed for and looked for new possibilities for us personally and for our church and for our world? This is what Jesus did for his followers right after his crucifixion and resurrection. He went ahead of them to Galilee. And Christ continues to do this for us. Christ continues to roll away stones, creating new opportunities for new life, and calling us all forward. I want to encourage all of us to expand our vision. Let's look at not just what's in front of us. Let's dream and look for new possibilities with Christ. Charles Duhigg, that commissioner of the U.S. Patent Office that I talked about earlier, failed to do this when he thought everything had already been invented. That was a big and wrong assumption on his part. And it leads me to wonder, what assumptions are we making about our future, and are we limiting what God might do? So let's be careful what we give our attention to. We don't have to focus on doom and gloom and the bad news of our world. God has rolled away the stone, and our Lord is calling us forward. So let's dream. Let's discover fresh opportunities. Let's move toward new possibilities for deeper connections with our family and our friends, new possibilities for vital ministry for us personally and for our church, new possibilities for justice and righteousness in our community and our nation. Jesus is already ahead of us. The future is in his hands. So let's move forward with hope and joy, because Christ is alive, and we thank God for this good news. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we rejoice in the empty tomb. The stone has been rolled away, and you're inviting us to move forward into the future with you. But we sometimes struggle to do this. We have a hard time moving past our doubts and our fears, and we get weighed down by bad news and negativity. Today, we give these struggles to you, and we pray that you will remove whatever stone lies in our way. Help us to move forward in faith and in hope. Help us to see the new possibilities you are creating. And help us live with the joy of new life that we're given through Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.